their apartment a floor above me, so I've got a jackhammer, and if I put my air conditioner on now, I won't hear a thing. In any case, Voschanan, I've been toiling to keep on that theme of consciousness, because Rashi's that I read years ago, I'm coming to with different eyes, and it pays to, when you get an insight, you're not going to be able to go back and go over every single piece of Torah, but don't worry. Hashem will conveyor belt it to you so you can deal with it on a more conscious level, and that's very satisfying. In Veschanan, it says, such a personal conversation. Voeschanan el Hashem ba'isahi lemor. And Moshe prayed to Hashem at that time, saying, now the simple Peshat question is, everybody knows the famous Or HaChaim, what's the function of the word lemor? The usual thing is, Moses told it, in order that he should tell it over to them or to whoever. It's a transfer of the information. Over here, it doesn't make any sense. Why? Because he's just talking to Hashem. He's talking to Hashem. So what's he telling Hashem to pass it on? He's talking directly to Hashem at this point. And it's 515 prayers, and I'm going to tell you a personal anecdote so that you don't make the same stupid mistake I made many, many years ago. There was a man who wrote a book on the 515 different prayers Moshe davened, according to the famous Gematria over here, Veschanan, and it was on the shelf, and I said, well, I'm not going to buy it today, but I'll come back and get it. And that happened a number of times. Then the book wasn't on the shelf, but I asked the guy in the store, where's the guy live? And I went there, and I think he had passed away. So I lost my opportunity. This man generated 515 ways that Moshe talked to Hashem. He brought Raya's for it. I was a young, silly student. I should have grabbed that book off the shelf. It was insane. So over here, I found it very interesting. Rashi, I'm going to try and put together two things. The first Rashi, famous, Chanun, he's begging Hashem, but he's asking for a matnas chinam. And the interesting contrast is that Rashi brings the famous Chazal, even though the tzaddikim could more or less hang their request on their good maisim, they don't. They always ask for a matnas chinam. Good? Therefore, what we find is, Rashi says, at the word lamar, I'm gonna tie the lamar part back to that part. This is one of three places that Moshe spoke to Hashem and said, I'm not going until you tell me if you're going to grant the request or what you're going to do. Either yes or no. I'm standing right here. I'm not going anywhere. I'll wait. That also seems a little bit chutzpahdik. What's he like, challenging Hashem? That's how you're talking to Hashem? It looks like this, arms akimbo. I'm not going until you tell me what you're going to do. Chutzpah. And of course it's not. There were actually five places, and it's a very complex set of divisions you have to make. Because there's an argument in the Sifri. One Mandamer says three, four, and the other Mandamer says five. So which is it? I'll list them for you. Here in Veschanan, chapter 2, pasuk 3, This is the request of this week. Am I getting into Eretz Yisrael or not? I'm going to wait for you to answer me. In Bamidbar 12:13, he said, are you going to heal Miriam, my sister, or not? Our sister or not? In Bamidbar 27:14, 15, 16, are you going to appoint a leader for the Jewish people? The double-edged question being, is it going to go to Yeshua, who's a very fit man for the thing? He's not telling Hashem who to pick. Or is it going to work by Yerusha, and perhaps one of my sons will do it? I'll wait to get the answer. Shmos 6:12. At the beginning of the whole story, basically, of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he says, are you going to actually redeem them? You'll do whatever you're going to do, but I would like to know at this juncture, are they going to make it? And Shemot 17:4, when they start to get on Moshe's back, which was done quite frequently in the desert, he said, Od Ma'at, they're going to stone me. Am I going to fall into their hands? Now, you can kind of see, I'm going to break this down without, you can argue with me. I think the first three that I brought down were a certain practicality of questions, while the other ones are just a matter of something. Are you going to redeem them? And am I going to get killed by them? They're going to stone me. So what's he asking for? The Kli Yakar, here's the bombshell kasha, based on the Kli Yakar. He quotes Rashi, and he says, Rashi's right, that's Chazal. They don't depend on their Maisim Tovim. But the Kasha is, says the Kli Yakar, what is the Hava Mina that they would depend on their Maisim Tovim? A tzaddik is going to depend on his Maisim Tovim? Really? In front of God. By the way, God, I got some credit here. So let's see what's going to happen. I have to ask you something, and I'm willing to use a little bit of my spiritual cash. The rule is, La'olam ein la'adam shum chov ala kadosh baruch hu. Hashem owes you nothing. I don't care how many good deeds you did, even if you're Moshe Rabbeinu, because we see he didn't make it depend on that. Now the Kli Yakar for me opened up the avenue to be able to resolve the questions. He answers, they're not asking based on what they did in the past, but on based on what they hope to do in the future. Why? Because the request is in order to be opportunized to be able to do more mitzvahs and good deeds. So that's not a bad basis. That's his answer. A well-known rabbi said many years ago, there are two questions you should not ask. A question to which you already know the answer, and a question whose answer you don't give a darn about. Like if you ever come home, those who are married, and things in the kitchen or in the living room or some other situation in the house doesn't seem to be running quite right, and then you turn to your wife and you go, how come the denana? You're probably guilty of one of those first two things. You already know the answer. Or you don't give a darn about the answer. But I'm going to add a third one in. A question whose answer you're going to get the answer to imminently, not maybe immediately, but very soon. It's going to be revealed to you. So what's the arms akimbo thing about I'm going to wait until you answer me? Just let Hashem decide on the timing, and you'll find out. My only funny line for this morning. Hashem does this, says to Adam Rishon, Ayeka, where are you? He knows the answer to that, but he happens to care about the answer. Moshe did this third question, which he's imminently going to get the answer, 5 times. Just patience. So obviously, even though I'm making a little bit of fun, it's not simplistic at all, but it's deeply simple and beautiful. And this would have been, in particular, I don't remember any other personage in the Torah that actually was able to take that stance and say to Hashem, I'm not going anywhere until you answer me. He was probably the only person who was in a position to do it. But you're going, well, what does that mean to be in a position that he could, like, kind of get close to the edge of being chutzpahdik of Hashem? He didn't demand, I want you to do what I asked you to do. He said, I would like you to just tell me what you're going to do. I think the answer is, and this is why they don't have it depend on their good deeds. Because it's not a matter of, is it going to get done or not, as if there's an agenda there. I think this is the bottom line. Basically, Moshe Rabbeinu has such an intimate relationship with Hashem that he was saying, I'm not just curious, this is all I care about. I want to know be'eza mida, with what mida, ata manhig olamcha, are you conducting your world? He wanted to just know Hashem better and better and better. And that was his whole desire. And of course, Hashem was pleased with that. That should be all that anybody wants to do. And if you want to, let me just put not a very well crafted thing to the consciousness, but that's the ultimate thing you want to be aware of. To learn lots of Torah, so you have experience in how things have been conducted in Chazal, not just making up your own explanations. And then you will be open to understand perhaps how I don't want to overreach over here, like perhaps a smidgen, just a tad of having revealed to you how Hashem chooses to conduct his world. And that's an intimate relationship. And whatever Hashem chooses to reveal to you is always a huge gift and very, very uplifting. It's usually life-changing when you see that kind of thing. And here's Moshe. He's towards the end of his life already. But he wants to know in each one of those instances, what mida are you using to conduct this situation? And that will let me know you better. That's it.
Shukar, thank you very much. Thanks for giving us the Erev Tisha B'Av. It was a nice surprise to see.
Beautiful.
We weren't expecting.
What's the connection?
No, just usually it's an off day. So it's a nice surprise, Erev Tisha B'Av. Turn on the computer and see Rav Zahavi's giving Musa. So thank you.
You know, I purposely did not choose to talk about Tisha B'Av.
That's not an issue.
What? No, but I'm saying because this is a much more positive message.
Yes.
You'll know what to do or what not to do if you know with what Mida Hashem conducts the world. It's just the perfect solution for everything. Hashem gives us the information to conduct ourselves. First yourself. Don't go around conducting the rest of the world yet. Okay, Yasher Koach, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Shkoyach, beautiful.
Okay. I hate saying this. I don't want anybody to be sick on the fast, but we're all supposed to feel it to a certain degree, as they say. There's a price with this one. The only happy fast day, I think, is the one Tainus Esther. From a completely positive place historically. Okay.
Hopefully we don't have to fast this year.
What? Oh, you're saying everything's going to wrap up here?
That's what we're hoping.
You know, my only cute line today was going to be this. You know how there's a lot of info out there about bringing Mashiach and bringing Mashiach, which I'm all for. And again, I'm not going to be cute here. But think about this. All those segulas and all those mitzvahs and all the special things that you can do to bring the Mashiach, you better ask yourself a question. Are you going to be where you're supposed to be holding when he shows up? Be careful for what you ask for. What if he shows up here this evening, tomorrow night? Are you ready? Is anybody ready?
Well, even if I'm not ready, doesn't mean that we can't make him come. Like,
no, I'm just saying, realize what that entails. It will encourage you to be more prepared for his coming. Not just wanting him to come, but being in a better position than you would have been because he might imminently come at any time. You're right. 100%. I agree. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.